was really...
So every time, really, I don't know why this happens like this, but every time that we go to the... every time we go to the beach is usually that's my... it's supposed to be fun, and I do have fun, but it generally it's like I've got a week or I've got 3 or 4 days of quiet, and it turns into, okay, God, what are you doing in my life? What the heck is going on with my life? And I know the Lord's been, for me personally, has been, you know, hitting some highlights about connection, authenticity, being known, that whole part, as well as about, it always keeps coming back to identity. So I knew that was probably, you know, that I'd end up focusing on some of that, and we did, all right, the Lord and I did, over the course of these few days. And, you know, for some of you have heard me talk about this some, but for me and my brother growing up, we kind of raised ourselves. Like, there was none of those father, son, sit down, how's your day, processing things, talking about how life works or anything like that. Same way with my mom. God bless them both. But they just didn't. Dad didn't live with us, and mom just didn't. She was either working or didn't have the capacity to, because of the stuff she was trying to deal with. And so, you know, we grew up with this idea when you don't. I mean, there was no hugs. There was no I love you. There was nothing, nothing at all. It was just we lived in that house. Cooked our own food most of the time, and so you grow up thinking you're really nobody there because you don't really have any identity. There's no, you don't know who you are. You don't have anybody telling you who you are, and so you're really just nobody. And so somehow, and this probably happens to all of us, but somehow, not consciously, but probably unconsciously, I think we all, but especially me, I know that I did, get this sense, well, if nobody doesn't get me any progress, then somebody would. I mean, that just makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if nobody gets anything, then somebody will, which means you unconsciously have to... You begin to spend your life not thinking about it, but thinking that if you become something or someone, that then you're finally going to reach something. Like there's some kind of, like you finally get there. And that's the secret to life, is you finally become somebody. And, you know, church doesn't help that much, because then, depending on where you're at, you go to the other extreme. You got the nameless, faceless generation. Says you're worthless. You don't have any identity at all. Or the idea that, you know, it's spiritual to be worthless, right? I mean, that's
false humility.
Exactly. Exactly. So then you mix all that up, and then it's like you have all these inner dynamics that are pulling you back and forth. And then, you know, this past year, as I've shared with you guys before, what the Lord I know is doing in my life is, you know, spend most of my adult life in church, Bible, and ministry. And then we close the church. So now who in the heck am I? And I know that the Lord's been teaching me about son. He told me that this year has been about sonship. And so so he was just talking to me about a few things on this trip to kind of do some little bit of adjustment in my heart. And so since he did this with me, I get to like put it on you.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. So,
I won't give up, so bring it on.
So first of all, for both of us, I want you to think about this. Not one single word that has ever been spoken over your life is true. Well, I'll explain. Because
what was just said to
Deanna? I'll explain. So the bad stuff, word curses, judgments, things that people have said, the lies they've told you about, the betrayal of friends, the things that they said at work about, all the kinds of stuff that people go through. Not one single one of those words has any truth whatsoever in it. Because no human being has the capacity to truly know and see you for who you are. Like, no person has the ultimate capacity to see into your soul and tell you who you really are.
Yeah.
Nobody. So that means no negative word could actually be accurate because they can't see it. They don't know who you are. They have a perception, but it can't be accurate because it's not God's perception. It's not a perfect view of who you are. Now, the same is true for the good words. So the good words, like we spoke over Deanna tonight, they may be true, but there's no way that that has the depth to it of the truth of who she really is. Like, we're just seeing the surface of how of who Deanna is. And so all those things that we shared about her, yes, they're true, but are they true to the depth of who Deanna is inside of God? No, none of... So even the fact that, you know, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says you'll be renewed like the eagle. And we're being renewed. Scripture uses this phrase. That means that for every heartbeat that you have, that moment before is over and done with and will never exist again. And that heartbeat of a moment before can never truly identify who you are, because now, right now, in this moment, is the only true newness of who you are. You are being renewed. So that was old, what happened 5 seconds ago. So even if somebody said something good about you, well, guess what? You're even newer and better version of yourself than you were 5 minutes ago. So that can't even be 100% accurate.
Isn't it important, though, to speak those positive things for the building up, like Paul
yes.
talked about?
Edification is good. I'm going to come to that.
Okay.
Cool. So
I didn't even know what this was about.
So here's another, just to go along with that. Not only is no word that's ever been spoken of you 100% accurate, good or bad, no event that has ever happened in your life, not one single event in your life ever, has given an accurate message to define who you are. Went through divorce, went through, lost my boyfriend, girlfriend, lost your, you know, whatever it may be. You lost a job, you got fired, your business failed, closed church, whatever it may be. Not one event that ever happens in your life has an accurate message that defines who you are. Nothing. Not one single solitary, because you are not what has happened to you. I know I've said this before, but, you know, because I had to taste it this week, you get to taste it too. And that is that your life can never fall apart, because your life isn't the things that happen out there. Your life is this, who you are inside of here. That's your life. He came to give us life abundant. It's not, you know, new cars and a mansion. And I mean, those are great too, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about abundance of life here. And so nothing that happens out here can ever define what's in here, because this is something God gave you. So the thing is, though, most of us, because, and I know this is universal, because we talk about identity and that kind of stuff, and then you know, the next week it's like, so how does this work? You know, how does it, I'm trying to get this. For most of us, we are waiting for something to happen, some proof to finally come, some event to sort of prove to us, some words that get spoken of us, some spouse that will convince us that we finally believe who we really are. Like, we're waiting for something out there, and yet out there they can't tell you who you are. And those events can't tell you who you are. And yet we're lingering, we're waiting, we're longing. It's like we never arrive because we're still waiting for that person to say something, and like, it's the next book, it's the next conference, it's the next sermon, the next worship event. You know, then I'm going to like get it, and I'm finally going to be in the zone. You know, I'm going to be there. But if we start defining it outwardly, then okay, now success or enough applause or enough friends, then I'll finally feel like I'm somebody. But what happens if you don't have success? Well, now you're back to being a nobody. Or if you don't have, you know, how many friends constitutes finally, you know, you're somebody? Is it 5,000 on Facebook? I'm over the 4,000 mark now. I'm aiming for that 5. That's my goal. But is that gonna change anything? And if we have in our hearts and our minds these outward pictures of something that maybe they're fuzzy pictures because they're not clear pictures, but it's like somehow eventually we're gonna like finally get there, and it never happens. It can't happen. So I've got good news for you. With God's help, with God's perspective, by the grace of God, you and I have to look from God's perspective and see the likeness and image of God in yourself. You and you alone, because God's not even going to do it for you. He's already said it. He said it to me many times, and then a month later, you know, you're still, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure how this works, and I'm lost, and I'm trying to figure out God, and where are you, God? You know, you and you alone have to take responsibility to quit trying to find proof out there somewhere and accept the truth of who you are. You and I, you are I like this word because it reminds me of the transfiguration. You are a luminescent spiritual being in a physical body. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. You know, that means that when God looks at you, he sees God. It's the likeness and image. So if God's looking at you, then he's seeing the mirror image of himself. Do you believe that? You say, well, I'm not sure I believe that. Oh, so what's going to have to change in order for you to believe it? Like, nothing else. Jesus has been to the cross. He's been raised from the dead. He's seated before the Father. I mean, what else is there left to do? What other kind of proof are we going to finally get before we take responsibility and look at ourselves and say, I am the image and likeness of God? Because that's the only way it's ever going to change, because that is your true essence. That's the truth of who you are. You ever wonder why, I know this is other people, do you know, ever wonder why other people get so bored? Have you ever been on a really bad date?
Yes.
I mean, you went out with somebody that you, I know it's for me, it's been a long time ago. If you've ever been out on a date where you're like wanting this to end like really bad, it's like, God, please let this be over with so I can go home. This is the worst date that I've ever been on in my life. Anybody, some of you been, yeah? What we do is we look at ourselves as the worst date we've ever been on. In other words, we look at ourselves and we see everything that's wrong with us and we don't enjoy being with ourselves. That's why people get bored. They don't like themselves. They don't like being with themselves. That's why a lot of people don't like to pray. It's not because prayer is some hard thing. It's because they have to get all by themselves. And it's like, now I'm alone with myself and I don't like myself that much to spend any time with myself. And we look at our poor little self and think, and I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Oh, bless his heart. You know, we're blessing our own heart because we see how we think we're so pitiful. And that's not the truth. Because you are a luminescent spiritual being of goodness and love. That means that nothing that a person can say can change that. Like it can't be undone. There's no outside word or outside event that can change the unchangeable fact that you look just like God. That you are made out of love and you are made out of goodness. Like, there's nothing that can change that. If somebody hates you, they write, you know, they send you hate mail, they write books against you, they you know, your business fails, you're betrayed by people, it doesn't change the fact that you are still that being. Because it's eternal. You have been joined to God. You don't have a new nature. You are a new nature. There's a, when we say, you know, I have a new nature, and it's like, it's something that we possess, we carry in our back pocket or something, you know? It's like, and I'll pull it out when I really got to be good for something. It's just saying. You put it back in your pocket when you're driving, don't you?
If we're going to be honest, and
well, we'll say, you know, I keep making mistakes and failures and all these things happen. Obviously, I'm not that kind of a being. But all you got to do is look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created in the likeness and image of God. There was nothing wrong with them. And yet, they failed. They had a perfect nature, and they still failed. Why? Because they forgot who they were. They didn't see who they were. Right. If you'll eat of this tree, you can become like God. They were already in the likeness and image of God. So our problem is that we keep forgetting who we really are. But more than that, we're like thinking all those outs. We're looking for all those outside things to finally convince us of something that really only you can be convinced of yourself. Like, you have to do it. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and see God. And start trusting and believing that that's the truth of who you are. So I've been singing, Tricia, you know, I didn't really share a whole lot when we were down there. I was doing my me and God thing. And I'd come up for air and smile and we'd go out to eat and we'd talk and play. And then I'd come back and get, you know. I started singing that song. dancing with myself. Dancing with myself. There's nothing to lose and there's nothing to prove. Just dancing with myself.
The lip thing.
Nothing to lose and nothing to prove.
Can't imagine you with leather.
You don't have anything to prove if you know who you really are. Like if you know that that's who you are. You have to give yourself what nobody else can give you. Not even God can make this happen because he's already done it. What no preacher, no teacher, no spouse, no friend, no enemy. You have to give yourself the truth and be your own best friend.
Well, that takes away all my excuses. Dang it.
So if you're messed up, it's your fault. Otherwise, it lingers out there like with this thing that's never satisfied because we're waiting for something that's never going to come.
I'm just having a hard time understanding this.
You are forever a beautiful spiritual being in a physical body who is already perfected, already holy, already accepted, already loved, and already made out of goodness and love. That's the truth of who you are. So if Brenda, which she would never do, came over here and said, Clay, you are such an idiot. Unless you're driving. Now, if you're driving, she might say that.
But let's say that she
did, for argument's sake, she said that to you. Now, if when we allow our hearts to get wounded from that, it's because we believed what she said.
Like when we take but if, it personal, that may not be personal.
But if you knew who you were, then when she says you're an idiot, you're like, oh, she doesn't understand. Poor Brenda, bless her heart. She doesn't understand.
Really,
because you know who you are.
I mean, like when you say that about other people, it's really a reflection of what you believe about yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So here I am. I've been doing an experiment for the last probably, I don't know if it's 2 weeks, week and a half, something like this. I've been doing an experiment. So I put about 12 meditations in a playlist on my iPhone. And so when I go to bed at night, I plug in my headphones, put my headphones in, plug it into my phone, and start the first one, close my eyes, and go to sleep. So that the whole night while I'm sleeping, while all my defenses are down, at least the thought process I've got, that it's just speaking positive, faith-building stuff into my heart all while I'm asleep. The crazy thing is that through this whole week and a half or so that I've been doing this, and I've got like 6 hours of it, you know, this, and so about right towards the end, I end up waking up. And I'm having a bad dream, and the dreams are like totally the opposite of the things that's like I'm getting, you know, all this faith and encouragement and, you know, believing stuff is going in, being pumped in while I'm asleep, and I'm dreaming stuff about me being arrested, about going to jail, I mean all kind of stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't understand, you know, I'm yeah. Obviously it's not working is what I'm thinking, you know.
Jim Richards, he talks about those dreams that you have right before you wake up. He said that is your body's way of getting rid of negative messages.
Well, that may be. Wow. Maybe that's, but 5 o'clock in the morning is the wrong time to get rid of that. So it happened again this morning. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, I wake up having a kind of a bad dream. So here's, and so this time I'm asking, all right, Lord, these seem totally opposite of each other, these dreams I've been having. is there something I'm missing here? Or is this maybe you're like, this is something you're doing? So I just try to approach it differently. And so I'm praying about it this morning, and this is the dream. So in the dream, there's this tiger, like beautiful but dangerous tiger. And I put it in a fence, and so it wouldn't get out, and I covered it with a tarp so nobody could see it. And then, everybody's getting the interpretation, stop it. So then, in the same dream, all of a sudden I realized...
We've taken
I know. In the same dream, all of a sudden, I don't know if it's raining, I think it was like a pipe burst or something. And I get this, I realize, if I don't turn off the power, it's going to shock people. So I get up and I turn off the power. And then the next scene is, I'm kind of at a distance from it, and I see there's somebody trying to let out the tiger. And I'm like, no, do not let the tiger out. That's dangerous. That's a bad idea. And so I wake up to this. As I'm praying about it, like trying to look at it differently, because my first impressions, which were maybe there's something like I'm afraid that people are going to find out about me, you know? Like I'm trying to keep it covered up, and I'm afraid they're going to find out something about me. And the guilt and the shame is like, hide this stuff. And then the more I prayed about it, the more I just begin to realize that this message, that the tiger is me. And I'm trying to put a fence around it and cover it up, because people are going to be shocked if I let the tiger out. And anybody else that tries to let the tiger out, no, you don't do that. So it was like it was actually the same thing the Lord was talking to me earlier about. Was the same idea. And the first thing I remembered when I saw it that way, I was like, oh, Brenda shared a passage from a book. About a year or so ago.
I know, I got your message this morning, like, I don't even remember that. I'm glad you found it.
I spent the morning looking through every individual post that she did from last year, trying to find one quote.
Stalker?
Stalker, yeah.
And I was even liking all these posts from 2015. I'm like, is he, like, going through my wall?
She's got some really good stuff on her page.
If you ever need a laugh.
Yeah, she's got funny stuff. Did y'all see the one I reposted from her?
No, which one? Oh, when did you repost it?
I reposted it today. It was a little boy with a funny look on his eyes, and he's.
My love for you is like diarrhea. I just can't hold it in.
I think I remember that one. Oh Lord, wasn't that just a few months ago? Or
that was last year. So thank you for the back to the. It's by Marianne Williamson, and the book is called A Return to Love. And she says, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Isn't that good?
Could you repost that?
That's good. I'm going to have to search for it.
I can put it, I'll put it, I'll repost it. Yeah.
I think I remember that one too.
It's good. After I read the book, I was like, I do remember. I need to print that.
That's really good.
Make a plaque of it, you know? Yeah. Staple it on every mirror.
Staple it on every mirror. Let me read it again. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Let me read it again. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, but it's everyone. And as we let our light shine, our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
That's good.
So I was telling y'all earlier about, I was kidding around with Michaela and told her I discovered that the meaning of life is chickens. And for those who are listening, I'm recording this, by the way. For those of you who are listening, you'll have to get that some other time. But I have seriously been thinking about the meaning of life. I'm like, you know, it's not about obedience to God. You know, God's not looking for soldiers. God's not looking for the army, the last day's army of God. He's not asking you to sign up. It's not about being a good person. That's not the meaning of life. It's not rescuing people from hell. All this stuff has a place of the things that we can do and encourage people and help people, but it's not accomplishing anything special. This is just an opinion, but I think it might be being known and knowing others. John said there's coming a day when he would know even as he is known. The image I have of this is a man in a trench coat and nothing else. This is my meaning of life. No, this is my meaning of life. This is genuinely my meaning of life picture in my heart that I have. This is the meaning of life. It's a guy standing there in a trench coat, hairy legs, you know, and he's standing there, and that's the only thing he's got on is his trench coat, and he's like, ta-da, and goes to flash everybody, except what everybody sees is not nudity, but they see who he really is. He opens up his life, his heart. There's no more fig leaf, and ta-da, this is the true me. I don't think that knowing God, knowing each other, being known, that's where connection happens with people. It's not just superficial. It's opening our hearts and letting our lives know one another. I don't think that that can happen as long as we still are waiting for the outward things to tell us that we're special. Because they never will.
There's always a voice out there that tells me you're not.
Right, there's just as many outward things to say no as there are that are saying yes.
Yeah.
So how will we ever be known and know each other if we're not willing to risk saying, this is who I am? It's because we are so identified with what we think is wrong with us that we're afraid to let shine what is right with us.
That almost sounds like so many people right now trying to know their identity and fighting against people that are, you know, keep them from having the same rights. You know what I'm talking about, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's everywhere now. Everybody wants to know who they are, and they're fighting for this identity, and whether it's in what they do, how they dress, you know.
Well, sometimes our causes are coming out of that place of a false identity. But if you know who you, like if I truly was living as if I believe who I am, if I know who I am, that means I also know who you are. At least to some degree.
I think when you become secure in who you are, like in your identity, like it doesn't bother you then when people are different from you.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason, like, there's so much divide in our country right now, but I think it's because nobody's okay with who they are.
Yeah. Right.
So we're not okay with who anyone else is if it's different from
it's
us.
Fear, because it's different. Mm-hmm.
So in church, I'm going to be, and I'm not saying that you know, I was kind of half teasing them earlier, but you know, the warrior identity in church. You know, that gives somebody identity, like they're fighting to take over the government with Christianity and you know, and they take on this identity, but and their value then becomes that identity. Oh, we just talk about seeing it in church, especially in where it comes to like, oh, it's in everything, but like music and singing. Or playing an instrument, you wouldn't believe. See, you guys didn't have the joy that we experience of people who I'm just not going to play. If you can't do it the way I want to do it, then I'm just not going to play with you anymore. I'm gonna, you know, just because it had to be because their identity was built around their a whatever. So. Your life, the essence of who you really are, it doesn't change. The influence of it changes our thoughts, it changes our behavior, we get more and more. You know, I was thinking back, when I was thinking about this today, I was thinking about Dan Moeller, and I remember he said, I never quite understood exactly what he meant. He said something along the lines of, the way that I could get over you is because I got over myself, something
yeah.
like that.
Hey, like, I'm so free from myself, I'm free from you.
Right. I'm so free of myself.
Yeah, I'm so free from myself
so I can be free from you.
Yeah. I'm unhooked to all these people because I'm so free. Well, it's identity.
You can't be offended.
Yeah, right.
It removes that ability. Because...
Like, because what are they going to say that tells you something different than what God said about you? Like, that doesn't change. That's the thing. That's like nothing can change that.
And speaking of Dan Moeller, when you were saying all this, you know, I always remember that he, like, talks to himself in the mirror every day when he's getting ready. So if Dan Moeller has to do that,
right. every day... And if you remember Dan's testimony, it was like, you know, he was working at a warehouse somewhere and he has this God encounter in the warehouse and he just goes flipping crazy. He's just like, oh my God, he's real. He's running through the warehouse. He's really loves me. He's real. Well, he just got in one dose in that moment. He believed it, what God was saying about it. We're still like going, well, I'm not sure. I need to fall on the floor three more times and shake and rattle and roll. And in order for me to find three prophecies. I'll know that God really, that I'm important and God really loves me. Yeah, and thank God for prophetic things that happen that are good and they reinforce something. But it comes back again to eventually there's this place where you are the only one who can do anything about it.
So what I just got was who you are is greater than any influence, good or bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's yeah. Really good.
Any positive influence that reminds you of that, great. Reminding you of something doesn't make it so. It just reminds you that that's who you are. You know, if somebody has a good, if you in turn said, Brenda, you've just forgotten you how really amazing you really are. And she goes, oh, you're right. And it dawns her, you didn't just make her amazing. You just uncovered that was something that was already there. It didn't change when she said something negative to you, and it didn't change when you said something positive back to her. She was still awesome. But she couldn't see it in one place, and she did in the next. No circumstance or word will ever change the unchangeable nature of who you are.
And just for the record, I do not think you're an idiot.
Yes, I
just so we can go on the record since we're being recorded.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Well,
I like that.
I almost put this on Facebook today. How do I say it? I care about how you feel, just not about me. Like that's I care about what's going on with you. I care about your feelings. I care about what's going on in your life. But I don't care what you think about me.
Oh, okay. I thought you said whatever
you're going through doesn't change the fact that I'm amazing.
You know, most people think it's so arrogant.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of religious folks.
Well, and remember what
confidence is. Confidence.
Yeah.
Cool. A what? God complex.
Godfidence.
Okay.
That's cool.
Well, I mean, that's what Paul told Philemon, that your faith may become effective through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you by Christ Jesus. So when you're acknowledging what's already there, your faith goes there straight up. Your confidence goes straight up.
Why is everybody ignoring Philemon then? That's some good word.
It is. What was the word of your faith? I can't remember how it goes. And a lot of different versions say it a lot of different ways. But the encouragement of your faith, or the building of your faith, something like that. Through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you by Christ Jesus. So when you acknowledge the good things in you, we go, I got some good things in me. It's a lot of bad stuff too. But I got some good. You're talking about the confusion and some of the fruit from misunderstanding yourself, but that's not
who
you
are. So
it's
really in you. Because
that's true. Exactly.
And you don't put junk.
You're a good tree.
You're a good tree, yeah. It's not like you got like God's down here in this little, like he's in the God-shaped hole. It's sort of down near your belly button somewhere. And that's where God's hanging out. No, every cell of your being, you don't have a new nature. You are a new nature. Like, you fill your body. You fill every part of your body. You are not, those things aren't separate from you. You are a luminescent, good, loving, spiritual being in a physical body.
Yeah. So it's really changing like what you believe about yourself. You'll manifest the good things that you do want to see. I mean, it's like that whole thing, like, what you believe is what you're going to find.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Like, if you believe that you're terrible, terrible, awful person that does horrible things to people.
Guess what? And
but if you believe that you are the image of God and everything that's true about Jesus is true of you, and you're a direct reflection of his character and his likeness. Wow.
A lot of times we want to, all right, the next step is, well, then how do I do that? There's not a how. This is not a how. You just are. You know, what I'm finding as I'm thinking through this, I'm finding is I'll, you know, say something, be a little edgy the way I say something. I know I would never do that, right, Tricia? But I won't say it with a grace or something. But I realize it. And I realize this connection. And that's all there really is. It's like, oh, well, I was probably, you know, I was acting like that because, you know, because that was, you know, I can't think of anything, but like, that was embarrassing to me. Well, in reality, can anything really be embarrassing to you if you're amazing?
Yeah.
She's like, yep. So,
no, I get it. Like, you could, man, this is like a rabbit hole. You could go really, really far down. But in a really good way.
Right.
Not in a trippy Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
What were you smoking when you wrote that story?
We think of authenticity, we think of it as like, you know, seeing all my faults and flaws, not be ashamed of it. And yes, I think there's truth to that. But, we think authenticity is like letting our hair down and just like, you know, this is just the way I am. You know, it's like that kind of, this is just the way I am. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. You know, that's not what it's about really seeing who you are. That's not really you.
Yeah.
So it's really seeing who you are, believing it, getting not just talking yourself into it. I've gone through that too. I'm like, I'm trying to convince myself. And it was like this thing. It's like, when am I ever going to have enough evidence to convince myself?
So I kind of feel like
it is. I am.
Yeah.
Is.
Like, I kind of see it as like the way we can like redefine authenticity is believing the truth about who you are, but not being afraid to admit when you didn't believe.
That's perfect.
Can you say that one more time?
It's like...
She's like, no, I just made that up on the fly.
No, it's like authenticity. It's like being free to believe the truth of who you are, of who God says that you are, but being willing to admit those moments when you didn't believe, and that's why your behavior didn't reflect the truth of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not blaming it on, my mama did this to me when I was
right.
little, or blaming it because you looked at me wrong, or,
yeah, it's like,
you know, not blaming it, no, I just didn't know who I was.
Yeah, like, wow, like,
that's
in that moment when I was cursing that person in the car, I did not believe what Jesus said about me.
At least you're authentically being open about your driving skills.
Okay. I even gave her scriptures that she could use.
She
know.
Did. And I didn't believe.
You're going to tell us where you're going. It's not what you're going to
do.
Damn. Nation. And hell is what's coming for you. You don't believe.
How effective was this?
Yeah.
Not so much.
I mean, they can't hear you anyway, so. Wow. The words are powerful and words never
die.
And this is one of those where you say, but God was hearing you.
So, Chuck, how does this relate to whatever measure you use, it comes back to you. But it's just, or is that even at all?
So how would you, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking like if you're always calling somebody stupid and, you know, you're negative toward everybody in that, whatever measuring cup I'm using, that's going to come back to me, and I'm never going to really find out who I am if I'm always negative to everybody. Uh-huh.
Because the coming back part is not like
not
necessarily
God.
Bad stuff, and it's not God.
Yeah.
But if I look at you and say you're an idiot, you know, and I'm being negative about, I'm like, I didn't mean to land on you, brother. I'm out of here.
At least he's being honest with his reaction.
then it comes back to my own heart. Because I'm just seeing, I would be in that imaginary scenario, I would be seeing in you, the only white reason I could see that in you is because it's actually in me. I'm perceiving that in myself. How would I know it was in you if I didn't see it, you know, if it wasn't looking at it
because
in my own heart?
You know you're known as you're known. You know as you're known. What you were saying a while ago.
Yeah. It's good.
I just...
You're on a roll, man. Well, anyway,
that's good stuff.
Just to think about. I'm the how-to is really just like I have to start with this, not after the fact, but ahead of time. I really am that person. Like, nobody else is going to do it for me. Nothing's going to change outwardly that I'm finally going to be convinced. Like, this is who I am. And then let that... It's like that will become like the medicine for like things that you start catching yourself.
It gives you so much grace for yourself too when you do mess up. Because in that moment you can just be like, why did I do that? That's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maturity, I think. Because I think, you know, in the circles where prophetic words do happen and things like that, I think that's good. But, you know, that's the milk. At some point, you've got to get to meat. And at some point, you can't just always rely on other people to say things. You know, at some point, you got, like you said, you have to start believing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maturity in Christ. That's knowing, you know, how are you all... Then we can effectively, you know, be his love.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we truly can love others if we can't love ourselves.
Okay.
So how can we fully, you know, do the Great Commission or whatever what God has for us to advance his kingdom? You know, how can we partake in that if we are not, and yeah, the church is nowhere near that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, like, you know, the whole, it really is, you know, like, you become what you judge, because it's already in you.
Yeah.
And when you look at the church at large, we've judged so many things over the years, that we've become all the things that we judge.
So do you think that the people who are driving around you are saying the same thing about you? Actually,
they are. But you know what it is? I mean, I had a little epiphany where we're sitting here, because it's, generally, it's when
they drive like you.
No, it's just me. Selfishly. And I do that. So.
You're the one that goes all the way to the front of the line and makes everybody else wait the extra time, right? Because you don't want to.
No, I don't do that all the time.
I do.
But I mean,
that was
like,
one of Bruce's melodies.
Like, one of my biggest... is when people block an intersection.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I understand.
And you have to sit through a whole another cycle of red lights because
they were blocking
the intersection. That grates on my nerves more than anything. But it's not.
I was in Franklin.
But I don't think it's necessarily the selfishness of, because sometimes I've blocked an intersection before because traffic was moving and I didn't realize it was coming to a stop with me in the middle of the intersection. But I think it's more of like in other areas of life where I put myself and my needs ahead of others. And I'm like, yeah, we're having a revelation.
Quick, 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 yeah. quick, quick. I had that. I was in Franklin, 5 o'clock traffic, or behind the mall. What is that road?
Gallery of the Lord.
Yeah.
The morning or the evening?
In the evening.
Dude.
It was like 5:30.
Yes.
And I was complaining because the car got stuck. You know, it was in they rushed to try to get in past the light, but they ended up getting in the middle of the intersection, and now I couldn't go. And when it was our turn, I got stuck and did the exact thing. 2 minutes later, I'm like, okay. Yeah, I did that. All right.
But I think, like, I mean, just this conversation we're having and relating it to, like, other areas of life.
Well, yeah, me too. It's just...
You're a tiger.
I am.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Wild.
My name is Raja.
But good.
Raja.
And so learning how to let the fence down, uncover the tiger, whether people are shocked or not, as to who you really are.
Oh, man.